Okay, Revelation 21, and Lord willing, we'll try to finish this chapter here. Revelation 21, and we'll look at verse 10 down through the end of the chapter. Now, this is the second part of the message from last week about the glorious city of God. It's called New Jerusalem, the bride adorned for her husband, the glorious city of God, which is a true picture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're blessed in Him with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. In these verses, the Lord of glory, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, gives us a glimpse into the state of His glorified church, called His wife, called His bride. Notice as it says in verse 9, and he talked with me, that is this angel, messenger sent of God, talked to John, saying, come hither, and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now he's talking about the church of the firstborn. He's talking about believers in Christ. Called his church, his wife, his bride. That is seen and viewed as this beautiful, magnificent, holy city coming from God out of heaven. It's called a new Jerusalem. It's called a great city. It's called holy Jerusalem. The bride, the Lamb's wife, the church, and the city, this great city, are all different descriptions of the exact same thing. Every believer, chosen, bought, and washed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, are born into this city, born into this kingdom as citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem called Mount Zion, the city of the living God. The city of the living God. You remember from reading in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Abraham dwelling as a stranger here, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's what we're looking for. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I told you last week there's a tenfold description in this vision of the glorified, blood-bought church. Last week we looked at the first three. And today we'll look at the next four that's given in this chapter. And then, Lord willing, next week in chapter 22, we'll look at the last two descriptions of that city of God in Christ Jesus. Now, let me go back for just a moment. I know some of you were not here last week. But let me go back for just a moment and look at the first three. And I'll give them to you quickly. The first thing we see, that great city of God, built by the Lord Jesus Christ, was founded upon His redemptive, effectual, priestly work that He has done for us. This great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. That tells us that salvation is not from the bottom up. Salvation is from the top down. It's saying the same thing as we often said, that salvation is of the Lord. So this great city is built upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not built upon our doing, our giving. Nothing. It has nothing to do with us. Everything to do with Him. As far as the performance of it, the accomplishment of it. The second thing we talked about last week, this city, His church, has much light. Look at verse 11. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now the reference there is to Revelation chapter 4, where it describes the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God on the throne with this jasper stone. He is all light. God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. It says in 1 John. Look over at verse 23. Revelation 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine it. For the Lord, for the glory of God, did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. The light we need, because by nature we're in the dark. by nature were ignorant and in darkness. And then look at verse 5 in Revelation 22. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. He gives us light. He commands the light of the gospel to shine in our darkened, dead heart, that we might see the glory of God that shines in the face of Jesus Christ. The Lord is called, He said, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, the light. The Lord said, I am the light. I am the light in this dark world. Now, the third thing we talked about, this city has the abiding and complete presence of the Lord of glory. As it says there in verse 3 and again in verse 22. Look at verse 3, Revelation 21. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. This city, this church, the redeemed, have the abiding presence of the Lord of glory. Now, in verse 22, Revelation 21, verse 22, And I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the dwelling of it, or the temple of it. We have our dwelling in Christ Jesus. We have His abiding, complete presence with us now and eternally in Him. Now, in the rest of this chapter, I want to look at four other descriptions of this bride, the Lamb's wife, the church, as it's redeemed and glorified in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the fourth thing we want to look at, this city, the city of God, New Jerusalem, has complete and total security by this great high wall. Look at verse 12. And had a great wall high, 12 gates, and the 12 gates had 12 angels, and the names written thereon, the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now look down at verse 17. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the messenger of God. Verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. This city has complete and total security. Now, we hear a lot about people talking on the news about building walls. This wall here is not something that's a structure, a stone structure. It's symbolic of that security we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. This wall can never be torn down. This wall can never be breached. It's controlled by God. Like the six cities of refuge talked about in Numbers 35, the six cities of refuge were established by the law of God to protect His people. Remember when you were in trouble and you had done something you shouldn't have done, they were designated to run to that city of refuge, and once inside that city, you were safe. You were protected. And that's a picture of what we have in Christ. Those cities of refuge were a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, our strong and secure refuge. Now, we read about the refuge we have in Christ many times through the book of Psalms. But one of my favorite scriptures in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge, He's our strength, very present help in trouble. But how much more are we secure today in Christ our refuge? He saves us with an everlasting salvation, which we cannot lose. There's no possibility of believers losing their salvation, because He gives them eternal life and they shall never perish. He saves them with an everlasting salvation. Our total security in that day is just a continuation of our total security we have in the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Remember He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of God's glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Savior. To Him be glory and power both now and forever. We are secured in Christ by His purpose, by His purchase, by His power, and by His promise. And all those things are in Christ. Now, I thought about this. We are secure in Christ by His purpose. We know He worketh all things according to His own will and purpose. God does everything He does on purpose. God never saves a sinner by accident. By purpose. His purpose and grace given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We are secure in Christ not only because of His eternal purpose, which cannot change, but because of His purchase, which is an eternal purpose. An eternal purchase. Remember we read about the lamb slain from the foundation of the world? He bought us with His own blood. Those for whom He bought, they cannot perish. We are secured in Christ. He obtained for us eternal redemption. So we're His by purpose. We're secured by His purchase. And then we are kept by His power. He said, you're no more your own. You're kept by the power of God. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. You see how secure we are in Him? His purpose, it cannot be changed. His purchase, He bought us. He's going to take us home. His power, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. God has given Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And then His promise. His promises are certain and sure. All that God has promised, He's able to bring to pass. Not one promise of God has ever failed. Not one. All the promises of God in Christ are in Him are yes and amen. And to the glory of God by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 20. We have these exceeding great and precious promises in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I call that security, don't you? It's not talking about a material wall. It's talking about the wall of His power, the wall of His purpose, the wall of His grace. The security we have in the Lord Jesus Christ now and forever. Forever and ever. Now, here's the fifth thing. The city of God has a solid foundation, a glorious and strong foundation. It says here, there's 12 foundations. Now, don't get distracted here. Now, look at verse 14. The wall, we'll come back to the gates in just a minute. The wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them, the name of the 12 apostles. Down at verse 19, the foundation of the wall were garnished with all manner of precious stones. It gives us those 12 different stones there in verse 20. All symbolic of the glorious attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this solid foundation, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Now, if you're going to build a building, we talked about that earlier. If you're going to build a building, you better have a solid rock to build upon. If you don't, the building's not going to stand. It won't stand. We've seen that so many times. Now, we've seen various numbers that the Lord is pleased to use in this revelation of Himself in this book. We know that 6 is the number of man. It's the number of the beast. 6 is the number of failure. 666. That simply means that man is a total failure. Totally depraved. And then we've seen the number 7. The number 7 is a number that symbolic of the complete and finished redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep, and they shall never perish. And this number 12 is a number of and symbolic of the complete and sovereign rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. His perfect government rests upon His shoulders. Now, the government of men and of mankind is corrupt. That is corrupt. I'm not even talking about our government. It's corrupt because it is filled by men who are depraved, corrupt. The only perfect government we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that scripture over in Isaiah 9 when it talked about a child is born and a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now, why does it say foundations? 12 foundations. We know that there's just one foundation, right? All the 12 apostles all agree that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only foundation. Now, I read last week from Ephesians 20. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. So all the prophets of the past, to him give all the prophets witness. All the apostles in the New Testament day, they all said there's one foundation. The 12 apostles all said with the prophets there's one foundation. They all preached the Lord Jesus Christ as the only foundation to rest upon. Each of the 12 apostles preached Christ crucified as all our foundation upon which we can build. Isaiah 28, verse 16, God said, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth on him shall not be forced out." And then the Apostle Paul said, "Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid." And Peter said on the day of Pentecost, he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ." And then he writes in his epistle, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed of men, is a stone of rock of stumbling, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, elect and precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded." To you who believe on him, he is altogether precious. Precious, precious. In verse 19, it talks about the foundation of the wall are garnished with all these precious stones. 12 precious stones. And if you go back to the Old Testament priest, on his breastplate, he had 12 stones mirroring these 12 stones. And we know the 12 stones on that breastplate are the Old Testament high priest. When he went into the holy place and the Holy of Holies, he was representing the names of those 12 tribes of Israel, symbolic and symbolized with those 12 precious stones. The 12 precious stones garnish the foundation of the wall, are symbolic of the glorious attributes of God our Savior. His holiness, his righteousness, his love, his mercy, sovereign grace, sovereign power, total power, his all glory given unto him, his eternality, his unchangeableness, and his faithfulness. Now, we could spend the rest of the day talking about those different attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think that these different stones here are symbolic of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. His power, his grace, his mercy, his love. All through the Scriptures are given unto us. Now here's the sixth thing we want to look at. The city also has a great wall with 12 gates of pearl. In verse 12, go back to verse 12. "And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates were 12 angels, messengers, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates." Again, it says in verse 21, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every one gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass." And then verse 25, "And the gates of it shall not be shut at all, day by day, for there shall be no night." No night there. So the gates of the city. Now normally, and we have to think in a realm of where we live. We can identify with a foundation. We can identify with a wall. And if the wall has a gate, what do you use the gate for? You use the gate to get through the wall, don't you? Well, normally gates are used to gain lawful access into the city. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only door, the only gate into this spiritual kingdom. The Lord said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go out and in and find pasture, out of death into life. Verse 27 of the text said, only the elect of God enter in, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They have the right to enter in through these gates by the grace of God. Each gate was named for the 12 tribes of Israel. Three gates on each side of the four sides of that city wall. The elect of God are gathered from the four corners of the earth. Four in Scripture is the number of the earth. East, west, north, south. Remember the Lord told the disciples, the risen Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So each gate was named for the 12 tribes of Israel. These three gates. We know from reading the Scripture, God has elect from every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue, under heaven. We know, we read in Isaiah 43 that He's going to gather the elect from the north, the south, the east, and the west. He's going to bring them unto Himself. And notice it's three gates on each side. Why not two? Why not five? Why not one? Three in Scripture is the number of deity. Deity, Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. So one is the number of God, two is the number of witness, three is the number of deity, four is the number of the earth, five is the number of grace, six is the number of man, seven is the number of completeness, and you can do a whole study on these different numbers. But they're symbolic of things. Four is the number of the earth. That's why the Lord told those disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All the world. God has an elect everywhere. Each gate had 12 angels, messengers of the gospel, declaring the message of the gospel, saying the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. We preach the gospel and tell sinners to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the gate. He's the way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by through me. He's the gate. He's the foundation. He's the wall. He's everything. Christ is all and in all. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in Him. These 12 gates, as it says in verse 21, turn back over there, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every one gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent as glass. 12 gates, 12 pearls, on each gate one pearl. Now people often talk about and sing about the pearly gates. Sing the pearly gates. I guess it comes from that. What we just read. But remember, this is a symbolic picture of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't expect to see a street of gold or pearly gates. I expect to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. You see, He's the fulfillment of all this. Now, remember, the Lord gave this parable in Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46. It's called the parable of the pearl of great price. He said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You see, Christ is that one precious pearl that we must have. As we say with the Apostle Paul, we count everything else loss, dung, ruin, that we may win Christ and be found in Him. He's all my righteousness before God. He is that pearl that I need. He is that pearl that I need to enter into this city and to enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Here's the seventh thing. The glorious city had but one street of pure gold, clear as glass, as it says in the last part of verse 21. And the street of the city was pure gold. I remember years ago, I used to work with a very religious man. And he was always trying to catch me at something. Trying to trip me up. He said to me one day, and I've never forgotten it. So I went and looked it up. He said, you know, the Bible doesn't say anything about streets of gold. I said, yes, it does. The Bible talked about streets of gold. He said, you're wrong. And I went and looked it up. And he was right. It doesn't say streets of gold, does it? Street. Now, why make a big deal about that? There's just one way of salvation. Now, salvation is not like some say they have this mountain theology. You've heard of the mountain theology? Here's God on the top of the mountain. And we have all these different streets, all these different ways. We're all trying to climb up this mountain different ways to get to the top. That's the theology of demons. That's the theology of works. There is just one way, and Christ is that way. I am the way, the life, the truth. This glorious city has but one street of pure gold. It's a perfect way. It's a perfect street. Never needs no potholes. Straight as an arrow. Never needs repaving. This street is a perfect street of gold, running through the city which leads to the throne of grace. And again, symbolic language denoting the purity, pure as glass. The way of salvation in Christ is a perfect way. Clear as glass. Clear as crystal to those who have eyes to see Christ as everything in salvation. Now make sure you understand this point. There's just one way of salvation. In Christ, by His grace. We read Ephesians 4, there's one Lord, one faith, one gospel, one way. There's just one way that leads to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one way of grace. Now, I'll tell you a story Braxton can get a hold of. I'm going to tell you a story, Braxton. I know a friend of mine had a grandson about your age. And he was riding along with his grandpa one day and he saw a traffic sign. And the traffic sign said, one way. One way. How many of you have seen a one-way sign? You better not go the other way. You get in trouble. One way. Go this way, right here. And the little boy said to his daddy, he said, look, grandpa, he said, there's the gospel. And he said, what do you mean? He said, see that sign? One way. Salvation, one way, in the Lord Jesus Christ. One way, that's right. One way, in the Lord Jesus Christ. To go some other way is destruction. There's just one way to this celestial city. And that one way is the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now, I want to close this message by looking at verse 22 and then verse 27. John said, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb's the dwelling of it, the temple of it, the Lamb. John in this vision does not see any temple or tabernacle, but rather the Lamb of God as our eternal dwelling place. The message of the whole Bible is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. I had on the radio program this morning. I don't know if you caught the radio message at 8:30 today, but when I started listening to it, they repeated the message from last week, Hebrews 9:26. And I used to get upset when they did that. I sent them a new message for this Sunday, and they played the message from last week. By the providence of God, that's what I needed to hear. Because in that message, I had this statement about Isaac and Abraham going to Mount Moriah to worship God, and Isaac said to his father, "Where's the lamb?" The whole Bible is describing the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole message of the Bible is the Lamb. And Abraham responded back to his young son Isaac, "God will provide Himself as the Lamb." What did John say? "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away our sin." All through the Revelation we study here in this book is about the Lamb of God. 27 times, at least that many times, maybe more, we see the Lamb who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb upon the throne. The Lamb characterized in His sacrificial character. Isaac knew you couldn't approach God without a sacrifice, without a Lamb, appointed, designated of God. That Lamb is Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him crucified. He is the Lamb of God, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now, look at verse 24 and 25 and 26. "And the nations of them which were saved, justified by the blood of the Lamb, shall walk in the light of that," Christ in Him crucified. "And the kings of the earth," that is believers who've been made kings and priests unto our God, "to bring their glory and honor," or their worship, "unto our God, worthy is the Lamb. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there is no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations of those who were saved into the city and worship the Lamb." Verse 27, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." In the Lamb's book of life. Nothing and no one will enter into that city, that spiritual kingdom, but those whose names are recorded in the Lamb's book of life. Look right across the page in chapter 20, verse 15. Revelation 20, verse 15. "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, that lake of fire is the eternal wrath of God. Eternal wrath of God. Now, I want to close with this. Who are these people? Who are these people whose names are written in the book of life? Of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Who are these people? Sinners chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Who are these people? Sinners redeemed by the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are these people? Sinners who were justified in Christ by the free and sovereign grace of God. For this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Who are these people? Sinners who have been granted faith in Christ and repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. These people are those who have been granted and ordained to eternal life and have been given faith. As many as were ordained to eternal life, those are the ones who believe. Who are these people? Sinners who call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm one of those whosoevers. I call upon the Lord for all my salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent of God? There is a necessity, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God saves sinners by the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord prayed in John 17, "Lord, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." That is, save them by thy truth. God doesn't use the lies of men to teach the truth. Can you teach the truth by telling a lie? You can't do that. God uses the truth to teach men the truth. And that truth is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on the front page of your bulletin, don't look. Don't look at your bulletin. But on the front page of your bulletin is this verse that's been there for 29 years. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for His sake. That's our message. We're preaching Christ. Preaching Christ as everything in salvation. We're not preaching ourselves. We're preaching